seriously popular.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to The Sidebar. Borderline National Treasure Richard Arnold here, bringing you the best from the guilty pleasure celebs can't get enough of, the showbiz badge of honour they secretly adore. And my sidebar psychics today are Resi Gadjar.
Woohoo!
And Anna Whitehouse is back for more.
Hello!
In this episode, it's all about the Gavin and Stacey get-together. Downton Abbey dating. And we talk, of course, Celebrity Big Brother, the gift that keeps on giving, with special guest, the Heartstopper housemate himself, our very first guest on the sidebar, Bradley Riches. Shall we, darlings?
Shall we?
So we find ourselves yet again on the sidebar. Remember, no shame here. This is the sidebar of fame. It's amazing how you come up with these ideas, isn't it? Now, every Monday, I, television's very own Richard Arnold, pulls up a pew beside a pair of my chattiest celebrity chums for a glitter-bedecked gossip about the latest goings-on in this business we call show. And, as you heard, today I'm joined by mother pucker herself, mum blogger and radio broadcaster Anna Whitehouse.
Hello, hello, friends.
You look amazing.
Bedazzled, bedecked,
yes,
glittering.
All of that and more. Just might want to rethink that top. And the ever effervescent TV and radio broadcaster, Resi Gadjar. Resi, great to have you back, my love.
Good morning. Buzzing for today. Looking forward to this.
Buzzing for today. Buzzing from the weekend as well. I sold my body at the weekend.
Oh, dear.
Yes, all for charity, of course. Crohn's and colitis in the Edinburgh Children's Hospital. I went up to Ulriki, which is my old university town, and did a little turn at the spring ball at the Prestonfield House Hotel. Thank you, Table 18. I know that you look at me and I look like I've come down from a bell tower, but believe it or not, someone paid cold hard cash for this body.
And that's all that matters.
At a tour of ITV's daytime studios. How much do you think I went for then, ladies? Come on, be kind.
Oh, loads.
Loads.
Yeah, of course. Thousands. I think thousands.
I'm going hundreds.
Oh, come on. Look at this man.
I'm looking, eyes wide open.
Go on.
I'd go
£850.
I reckon £1,500.
Would you know, £1,500 was bang on the money. Not quite as much as last year. And I am throwing in lunch for two as well. Not after the studio tour. Not quite as much as last year, but we are in the full thrust of a Cosy Libby crisis.
Is it Richard Arnold and a cheese and pickle sandwich?
It basically is.
If it is,
yeah.
I'm
keen.
In for a pound.
Like I say, it was all for charity. So there you go. That was my weekend in a nutshell. Anna?
Oh, God, where to start? I need to unpack this, actually. So my mum, who I feel is an extra contributor.
Yeah. Love it. She's like that star of a sitcom that's always off camera.
Yeah.
Like Meris from Frasier or Stan from Will and Grace.
Just consistently piping up. What is Richard Arnold really like? You would absolutely be better at presenting Strictly than Tess Daly. Just really bitchy little side comments. Anyway, my mum, she said to me, she's not going to see the kids over Easter, and she's like, I'll do a little virtual Easter egg hunt for the kids, right?
Oh, that's cute.
And she sent me this video shoe. It's my mum hopping about with size 38 triple D boobs in a Playboy bunny outfit. And I'm like, Mum, what is this? She goes, well, I'm an Easter bunny. I was like, no, Mum, you're the Playboy bunny. You have ordered
a bit different.
The wrong Amazon costume, and I am not showing that to the kids. Her nork's jiggling about as she's trying to find Easter eggs for the kids.
With a window box in full
bloom.
Brilliant.
I was like, Mum, I'm not going to be shut. That is not an Easter bunny my six-year-old needs to see. It's like a sort of maternal version of that Bridget Jones Jones moment yeah. when she yeah, works yeah. Up, walks into the Tartars and Vickers party. So,
that's it.
Anyway,
that's
me.
I feel like I need to meet your mum. My weekend sounds so boring compared to that. I just had my sister's birthday, which was really fun. No one came in a Playboy outfit, but we did have like afternoon tea at my sister's flat, which was really lovely. Oh. And she got loads of games out. It was really fun. So we were playing like mini pool and darts and stuff like that. It was just really nice and social with the family. It was
You're
lovely.
A nice person, aren't you? You've got yeah. a really nice, rational, lovely backdrop to
Do you know
family.
What? My husband hates it because my family celebrate birthdays. We all celebrate birthdays together. And this time of year, there's so many birthdays one weekend after another. It's like constantly family time. My husband's not very good with small talk. So he grins and bears. I mean, he loves my family, in case you're listening. He does love my family, but he grins and bears it. But I love it.
I'd say
fun.
Richard's quite good at just the big talk. There's little small talk that goes on. It's straight down.
Yeah.
Down the line.
Well, you had a good old family reunion. And speaking of family reunions, let's talk Gavin and yes. Stacey. Okay, now the cast enjoyed a red carpet reunion in London's West End last Thursday, stepping out to support Ruth Jones at the opening night of Sister Act, the musical at the Dominion Theatre. Cracking show if you love a Wimple. Former co-stars James Corden and Rob Brydon attended the gala night, and they weren't alone. Adrian Scarborough, who played Pete, of course, Alison Steadman, who played Gavin's mum, Pam, love her, and Melanie Walters, who starred as Stacey's mum, Gwen. Were all in attendance. And, of course, this fueled more speculation that a new episode of Gavin and Stacey is on the way. Ruth categorically denied it was going to happen.
Where does this stuff come from? James and I went for lunch when he came back from America. We went for lunch in London a few months ago. And we got papped. And then the next thing is, oh my God, they must be writing more Gavin and Stacey, which is lovely. It's lovely that people love it and they're so desperate for it, you know.
Really desperate.
Yeah, because like, imagine if it was the opposite and they were like, oh God, they're not bringing that back. It's sadly a rumour. Okay. I don't know what to say. All I can say is if there was something to say on that front, James and I would happily announce it. You know, we would.
Okay, Ruth there. So she was peddling her wares later on in the week as well. On the Zoe Ball breakfast show on Friday, Ruth had this to say.
Everyone always says, I mean, Smithy, he's still waiting for an answer from Nessa.
Is he though? Is he waiting?
Well,
we don't know. James and I think those characters exist, that they really exist, and that Nessa is still working down the slots in Barry Island at the moment. And we like to think that their lives are carrying on down there.
Will we ever see them all together again?
Who knows? You never say never in this world, do you?
Never say never.
I don't know.
No plans yet. I'm taking it. That's unless she's bluffing. She's got a good poker face.
There you go. Never say never. Look, I don't know about you. Now, we had to break the news, Rezzy, to Mother Pucker here, lovely Anne, that Daniel Craig is no longer James Bond, right?
Yes.
We had to break that yesterday.
Know that. Stop it.
Amidst a frenzied speculation about who is going to be the next Bond.
She's been a busy girl.
The sidebar is not a shame bar. We said this. Beginning, it includes the contributors.
We're all friends here.
We're not going to throw you under the bus. So since that episode of the sidebar, of course, it all came about that apparently Aaron Taylor-Johnson is going to be signing on the dotted line for some 3 or 4 picture deal. All the sizzle about who's going to be the next Bond, and then you have all the sizzle about Gavin and Stacey. And I don't know about you, but with that much sizzle, there has to be a sausage to go with it, right?
It's got to be happening. A Cumberland lurking out there. So a Cumberland sausage, the kind of ones you get with your
all-day
breakfast.
Do you reckon she's played this well, though? Like, either absolutely it's not going to happen, but now there's been so much hubbub about it and everyone's, like, buzzing to see if something could happen. Maybe she's thought about it and thought, actually, do you know what? I could make cash from this. Let's do it.
I'm annoyed. I have to say, I think I'm one of the only, there are 18 million people tuned in to see the last episode when she proposed to, I was going to call him Stiffy then.
Smithy.
It's a
whole nother show entirely. Smithy.
Smithy, not Stiffy. And I probably was on the only people who didn't tune in. I'm not a fan of the show. Are you joking? No, I'm not a fan of the show. Sorry, we can't be friends anymore. No, I'm sorry. No shame here. And I think the thing here, have you heard in the dating world about breadcrumbing? And how annoying breadcrumbing is.
No, what's
okay,
that?
This is right. But when she goes down these particular wormholes, I cling on like a cat to a curtain because I never know where she's going to land.
She knows. Richard knows where I'm going to land. Is that breadcrumbing is where you annoyingly tease people thinking that they're going to go on a date or that they're going to come back with Gavin and Stacey again. And actually, I just want a yay or nay. I'm not that bothered either way. It's just, you know, sign on the dotted line.
Yeah. See, I was always a massive fan of the show. I loved it. I think it came out in 2007, didn't it? So that was my second year at university. So we'd often spend Sundays binge watching Gavin and Stacey when we're really hungover. So I've always really loved it. So if they were to bring it back, I'd definitely be keen.
Why do you think it was so successful, though? What did you love about it?
It's just really easy watching. I really like programmes that you can watch that you really don't have to concentrate on. I think at uni, you know, when it's a Sunday and you're tired and you're hungover, you don't want to really have to concentrate on a storyline. It's really relatable as well. It's just silliness. It's really fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. The characters were great and you laugh along with it. And if you miss a part, it doesn't matter. You can kind of pick up on it.
You're very warm. They were beautifully drawn, weren't they, the characters?
Yeah, they were.
They were. It's like the sort of family that you wanted to belong to.
No, not for me.
Not for you.
No.
I imagine your family's, there's probably something of the night about your family. I'm judging from your twinkle.
The fact my mum's dressing up as a Playboy bunny for Easter probably says enough about my side of the familial fence.
Nothing wholesome about that. But so that's interesting, Rosie, because for me, it would have been shows like I mentioned earlier, like Will and Grace and Frasier and Friends, because we are more or less all the same age as the Friends. I think they're slightly older than me or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was obsessed with those as well. Like, Friends, hands down, is like the best series ever.
I mean, we used to tape it. I mean, that's
Did
how old
you?
I am. Yes, we used to tape it and come in on a Friday night. It was one of those shows, you know, you come in afterwards and me and my flatmate, Kate, it was basically Grace to my will. We were living in a flat in Tufnell Park in North London that was no bigger than a lift shaft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the two of us would just dolly around.
And you know, you really pray that you could get out of a relationship just to say, it's not that common. It doesn't happen to everyone. And it is a big deal.
Or we Close were the on door. A break.
Yeah. And you see, what are the phrases from Gavin and Stacey?
Like, that's true.
What's occurring?
That's true. Or Gavilon?
You do. But because it was part, I suppose it's in your sort of DNA, as you say, because it was part of your routine and stuff. Other people would have had to stay in or make an appointment to view.
Just too hungover, really. You were watching anything else.
No, I actually had the box set as well. I loved it. So I think if they were to bring back another episode for Christmas Day, I would hands down watch that, probably over the King's Speech. I'd much rather watch like a Christmas special of Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't necessarily have to be bedridden to enjoy Gavin and Stacey.
No,
let's
not
be clear.
At all.
No.
I think it covers all ages. I think it doesn't matter how old you are.
I think the issue for me is it's too much of a common denominator. It just plays it a bit safe across all age groups. It's a bit coming back to the dating app thing.
I suppose,
but that's what makes it easy to watch.
Exactly. Like, you don't have to send Auntie out of the room, you know, to watch this one.
And well, it's fun.
It's
like funny.
Stiffy,
isn't
it?
Yes, absolutely. But I think it's warmth. It's got a stellar cast. It's beautifully woven, as I say. The characters are drawn so well, and the script is so tightly woven. There's not a duff or a lost word in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's genius. And so you think about it, like those 70 million people who tuned in. There's a massive appetite for the show to return, clearly. And that Christmas Day appointment to view, because let's face it, there really isn't a lot on Christmas Day that gets you into
a
lather.
We need to know if Smithy's going to sign on the dotted line with Ruth. And the thing is with that, though, I think talking about signing on the dotted line, I think the reason they're being a bit vague about it all and breadcrumbing, as I say in the old Tinder world, is the fact that they haven't signed the cash. You know, they haven't actually got the cash declared. So, I think it's money at the moment.
It's the sordid topic of coin.
Yeah, it's the it's cold, hard cash. And I think good old Ruth is playing us, the general public, who built that show. Don't forget where you came from, Ruthie.
She's been told.
Sorry.
Well, do you know what, though? One thing I was going to say is one of the episodes of Gavin and Stacey, she talks about the jamdani hash, which was like her favourite curry that she got at the curry house, which doesn't exist. But there was an Indian restaurant in Wales that decided to make it as like an extra thing to celebrate Gavin and Stacey. And then she messaged about it on social media and the restaurant became so busy that they've been fully booked every weekend since.
What is it? What is the jam?
I can't remember what was in it, a jamdani hash, but it was always something she talked about as like her favourite curry that she'd go and have. No idea.
Well, I know that the people, the team, the crack team of at least 400 people who put together the sidebar every week will be currently ferreting around for a recipe that we can post at the end of this episode of the sidebar. Because that's why you join us, dear listener, week in and week out. Another favourite to return. Now, this is right up my street, Downton Abbey. So there were rumours for ages about either the show returning to its old home on ITV1 or obviously a third film. And I loved the first two. But this was the week, of course, that Downton star Imelda Staunton, wife of Jim Carter, who plays Butler Carson, cut the crap, as they say, and just confirmed what we'd all been wondering.
Lots of people asking me, because obviously Jim is your chap, do you know about Downton and the rumours there's more coming? Have we? Yes, there is. What do you know?
Right.
What can you say?
There will be the final film.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
That's it. That's all she's got. But that's pretty huge, Imelda. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I hope we haven't got you in trouble at all whatsoever.
I don't care.
What I love about Imelda is, Imelda and Jim, stalwarts of the business, of course, is Imelda just kicked her shoes off completely, because every time I've bumped into members of the cast and stuff like that, they give it the whole sort of doe eye, and they can't really look you straight in the eye. And so you can't really get a straight answer. They like to keep a lid on it, but she's kicked her shoes off. I mean, she's a veteran of stage and screen. I don't care. Yes, there's absolutely going to be a third film.
It gives me heart palpitations that moment. I'm like, woo!
It's when you get to a certain age, and this is the thing I didn't like about the whole Gavin and Stacey breadcrumbing, is, you know, that, aren't we? It's like, just lay it down, mate. You get to a point where you're close to the bus pass, you just think, do you know what? Laying it down.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Do you reckon that's because Downton Abbey, no disrespect to Gavin and Stacey, but Gavin and Stacey hasn't been on for a long time, so maybe they need to build up a bit of a buzz
when
like
that.
When
you say no disrespect, there's always disrespect.
No, there's no disrespect, because they're very different. They're very different shows / films. And I love Gavin and Stacey, but I feel like because Gavin and Stacey hasn't been on for such a long time, maybe Ruth Jones feels like she needs to build up that momentum a little bit. Whereas with Downton Abbey, Imelda clearly was just like, do you know what? We don't, like, everyone loves it. It's popular right now. It doesn't matter. Let's just go with it.
Worst kept secret is coming back. I mean, I loved it so much. I remember being on set. Oh, I'd love to see Mrs. Patmore with an air fryer now, if they bring it bang up today. But of course, she'd be a ripe old age and possibly no longer with us. But I remember being on set for the very first series and interviewing Michelle Dockery and Dan. And they were on the air at the verge of this, what obviously they didn't know was going to be this global phenomenon. They just thought they were doing this kind of homespun drama for ITV, and it just turned into this absolute behemoth. And I remember Michelle latterly told me years later, because I met her in one of my local pubs, and she said, oh, we were a bit dusty that day because a bit hungover. Obviously consummate professional and stuff like that, but they just had absolutely no idea
you
that it was going to be
idea,
so...
You have any idea, though? Did you get an inkling with your celebrity now?
Give me a bustle and I'll hustle. I mean, I do love a bit of period drama, you know, and you could see there was a check thrown at it, and the costumes were right on point, and they were clearly heavily invested in it. I do remember as well, I was on set, and it was the year ITV were refreshing the breakfast offering, if you like, and I was sort of palpably aware that I wouldn't necessarily be part of the new mix when the show was rebooted in the autumn, and so I made a point of trying to get into every shot of this Downton Abbey set visit in a vain attempt.
What was your role there? Sorry.
I was interviewing the cast.
I thought you were part of it.
Michelle's
butler. No. Lurking in the background.
In the background.
Can you imagine the Arnold as a footman?
As a footman.
It would be amazing. You'd do a very good job.
I'm very good below stairs.
It's funny that you say the cast didn't realise how big it was going to be, because I remember reading somewhere that, is it Laura Carmichael that plays Lady Edith? Yeah. And she was working as a receptionist at the doctor's surgery when she got the call about getting the part.
It was her first job at a drama school.
Yeah, and she didn't think it was going to be massive. She thought in her head, you know what, it's probably going to be maybe like a day and a half of filming, and she almost turned it down. Can you imagine if she had? Because obviously it ended up being such a huge role and such a massive show.
And speaking of Larry, as we call her, lovely Laura, I remember being out in LA for the Emmys.
Yeah.
And we were poolside. And it's just extraordinary. You got Lady Edith there's poolside at this fabulous hotel in Beverly Hills. And you just think, wow, I mean, what an incredible journey that they all went on.
With Imelda, just quickly, having obviously been quite overt in everything coming up, have you ever had to keep a secret? Have you had to sit on any little
Well, funnily nest enough, egg? I had to keep a secret from Imelda and Jim once. So picture it, if you will, dear listener. We were at the Savoy Theatre, my other half and I. Now, my other half, whether there's a quasi-Libby crisis or not, he likes a coupon clip, right? So he likes to bring his own refreshing beverages to the theatre and to the cinema.
I love that.
Okay. So we do, you know, you buy the one drink and then he'll sort of decant. So we're going down. It was 9 to 5. It was the opening night of 9 to 5. That's right. One of my favourite films of all time. So we're in the bowels of the Savoy Theatre. I'm sat down and we suddenly realise that Jim and Imelda are coming in and we're sat in their seats. But it's at that point that my other half is decanting liquor from his pocket.
Oh my gosh, what timing.
Into a paper cup, I think, in front of Carson, of all people.
Yeah!
Don't mind us.
He should have asked Carson to do it for him.
Oh, is that
yeah, there you go. Click his fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Ring that dinner gong, would you? Well, I'm all for the third film, and I'm glad Imelda's kicked her shoes off and finally laid that one to bed, so
love
to
it.
Speak. I cannot wait to be reunited with the cast.
Oh, I've got a quick question.
Go on.
Hugh Bonneville, did you see he's on Raya?
Right, okay. So okay, sticking with Downton. Yeah, this is great. So Raya, the dating app.
Yes, which I've only just come off.
Right.
So I was going to say it was quite fruitful for me.
Tell us, how does it work?
It's kind of the other end of sort of Tinder. It's for names. I mean, A to Z. I'm lurking more around the Z. Hugh Bonneville, though, would come in at a grade A, right, on Raya. So it's
how do you get on it, though? Do you have to get, like, verified?
You have to be recommended, verified. It's, you know, a really hierarchical, slightly awkward, uncomfortable process to get in on that.
Yeah.
But it's not like one of those apps that you read about where you've basically got to look like you're from another planet,
Either have to have a Cutler Mill in the old bank account or look like you've got Cutler Mill in the old bank account. And Hugh Bonneville is on Raya at the moment.
Amazing.
And I just came off it. If I'd have known Bonneville, good old Huey, was on there, I would have loved to go on a date with him because he's actually looking for friends on there, he says.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Do you know what?
Do people do that?
Categorically, yeah. I matched with Craig David on Raya. Like,
I love Craig David.
Can you imagine him singing to you every night, like on a Monday? He's going to do the dishes on a Tuesday.
He slipped into my DMs once, Craig David.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know.
But it was like nothing saucy. I went to see him at TS5, his Ibiza residency that he does.
Right.
And I went to his show. He was amazing. He was really amazing. He does like a pool party. And we were posting loads of videos, just having a lovely time. And he messaged me the next day, started following me on Instagram and was like, thank you so much for coming. And I was like, oh my gosh, actual Craig David messaged me.
Well, I messaged him on Raya. And obviously
would
have done the same with Hugh Bonneville, but now I'm obviously off and taken.
Yeah.
For the uninitiated, because I mean, I've been with my partner now for about 19 years. And honestly, it feels like 5 minutes. 5 minutes underwater, but nevertheless, it feels like it's just flown by. So I dated in a pre-digital age.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Right.
I've been with my husband for 17 years.
Right, so that makes me feel a lot better.
I've done enough for both of you in the last 6 months.
Right. But with Raya, when they match you, it's not like other apps, of course, where you describe yourself as a sturdy six-footer, which is clearly what I would do.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
a piece of Queen Anne furniture. Do you know what I mean? what's your pitch when you're on something like Raya?
The great thing about Raya is it's much like the celebrity world. You don't really need to pitch yourself. You know, it's not like Hinge, where they go, what's your favourite, what's the favourite thing to do on Sunday?
Course,
so are you expected to be that well known then that you don't need to say anything?
You see a lot of celebrities on there. And if for example, Hugh Bonneville's gone on there as a friend, I would love to go on a date with Hugh Bonneville. How fascinating would that be?
Oh, he's a gent. Like, he's an absolute gent. And he's so funny. He's so warm. And has such a class act, clearly. I mean, it would be fascinating.
You know,
I'm
Alexandra...
sorry, but I still can't get past the fact that he just wants to meet friends. Is that a cover-up,
no,
though?
I mean,
Do people say, I just want to make friends.
I would join an app to make friends.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, for a start, I'm sat here with you two. So I clearly need to broaden my range in terms of at least my circle. You know what I mean?
Would you, Anna? Would you join it for friends?
Yeah, I would
actually.
Yeah, I mean, I did try with Craig David, but still waiting for that response. I slid into Harry Styles' DMs.
Amazing.
And it was after I listened to his bedtime story on the Calm app.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I knew about this. So I was going to bed and I had a really fruity dream about Harry Styles.
Right.
And
DM'd him and told him?
I DM'd him and told him. But you know, there's nothing more disappointing. And I had this from Craig David too. Scene. You know, just the little double tick. It's like, at least he saw it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think with Hugh Bonneville, because he set his stall at friendship, I think there's an element of like, right, let's go to the pub. Let's go to the Crown. Packet of pork scratchings, pint of your fave, and let's chew the fat on Downton. Or not. Actually, I'd like to know what he's like. Well, you know him. I mean, he seems like a lovely guy.
Yeah, lovely bloke. And absolutely, if he's looking for friendship or more on that, I wish him all the best.
He's dodged this bullet.
He's dodged that
bullet. Yeah, exactly.
I've feeling slightly, how long have I been in this business? 27 years, man and boy. And no one's slipped me anything.
Darling, you did
really?
Say, darling, you said at the beginning of this podcast, I've been meaning to bring you up on it, you said, I took a turn when you were talking about your event you went to over the weekend. I was like, are you from Downton Abbey? Like, are you so old that you took a turn?
At the ball.
At the ball. Like, you are a relic, darling, if you're speaking like this.
It really does surprise me, though, that no one slipped into your DMs.
No,
because you
I've
are
not.
Like legendary.
Oh, stop it.
No, but you are. Do you check your outbox? Like on Instagram, you know, there's like, obviously, like you get messages.
Oh, there's the requests.
There's that, the request, you check that. And if you scroll right down on that, there's hidden requests as well. So you may have had
an
Craig David or Harry Styles messaging. You just don't know.
I think we need to have a little scour because I think you'd
have a
lot more
than you think. That could be a whole podcast in itself, checking your DMs.
I know. Maybe I should do, I've got to do a deep dive on that, haven't I?
You definitely should.
Oh, my goodness.
I think you'd find some interesting messages in there.
I could have been beating people off for years.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have known.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't have known. Oh, the return of Downton Abbey. Well, if you're not excited, clearly you've gathered that I very much am. So we're looking forward to that one. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we have been champing at the bit to chew over Celebrity Big Brother. The Nation crowned its winner, of course, David Potts, the man himself, the man with the pipes and the pins.
The pipes and the pins.
This is the moment that he found out he won.
We can now reveal that the winner of Celebrity Big Brother 2024 is David!
Oh my God!
I told you, babe.
Oh my God.
It was amazing telly roller coaster ride, packed full of big characters, loads of drama, bags of gossip, and in the form of Louis Walsh, a newly anointed Goblin King of Evil. We loved it. It was gold. And I'm delighted to say, joining us here on the sidebar to chat all things CBB, it's the heartstopper himself, actor, singer, and now he has Celebrity Big Brother housemate to add to his CV. It's the one and only Bradley Riches, and he's coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Star of Celebrity Big Brother and the very first guest that we've had here on the sidebar. It's the one and only Bradley Riches. Bradley, we met at Good Morning Britain. I'm thrilled that you wanted to come onto the pod. Delighted that you're here. I know the girls are as well, because we have literally been forensically analysing Celebrity Big Brother over the last 2 weeks. As I said before, it is the gift that keeps on giving. Was it the gift for you that you hoped it would be?
So when I got offered to be a part of the show, I was going to turn it down. I was a bit nervous to do it. I think, growing up, I can't make connections that easily, so I was scared to go into a house and be locked away with these strangers for 3 weeks. So I was
fair.
I went
very
in
fair.
I was very nervous to do it, and once it hit day three, I was just having the best time ever. I made these amazing friendships and was just having a crazy time doing these weird tasks that you won't do in everyday life, but I had the best time.
When you got that call from your agent, were you like, okay, I've got to work out who I'm going to be here? You know, because like we were saying this on the sidebar last week. Ekin-Su was told that she had a bit of a game plan, etc. Can you really just be yourself there? And did you trust yourself to be yourself?
100%. I feel like a lot of people, when we're in there, like the cameras are so loud. I think people forget this. Like when I think of these shows, I always think like, oh, you won't know there's cameras watching you. But these security cameras, like the toilet one, especially when me and David were having these conversations in the toilet, and like these weird conversations, we just have random conversations. I think from like the shower steam, this camera just needed a bit of oil. Like we'd be speaking and the next thing you hear is and then me and David would be like, the camera.
Darling, what conversations were you having? What conversations were you having
in the toilet?
That they should have taken in some WD-40 clearly to the toilet.
Not in the toilet, but in the bathroom.
In the bathroom,
not in
right.
the actual toilet.
Because how much notice do you get from when you got the call about going in? Like how long before you actually go into the house?
Yeah, so everyone's was different because we actually were speaking about this. Everyone was different. So like, for example, I think Coulson got approached in December and then had all, because obviously he had Coronation Street, so he had to work out that schedule as well. But his was like, he knew ages ago, whereas Nikita, I think, found out 2 weeks before he was going in. Like, it was all different things. But I had my first meeting in January and then found out, I think, mid-Feb, maybe.
And then who did you tell? Because I'm really good at keeping other people's secrets.
No,
but when
not.
It comes to...
No, you're not, mate.
I've kept lots of your secrets.
Oh, no, fair enough.
But when it comes to something like that, I would find it so hard to keep that to myself. So who did you tell or didn't tell?
This is funny. Actually. So I told, obviously, my mum, my dad, my sister. I wasn't meant to tell anyone, I don't think, but I told
them. I was going to say, you've already, that's quite a lot of people already.
The cat isn't just out of the bag, it's running around riot. Yeah,
and then also my boyfriend, and then two of my best friends, because obviously I wanted them to be at launch. So everyone who was at launch knew.
Fair.
And then all my other friends who aren't like my closest friends, they're my friends, but not like my best friends. I said that I was going to Thailand traveling for 3 weeks.
Amazing.
And I said, if I'm not enjoying it, I might come back a bit early, but I'll let you know. And then I'll see they will know. As soon
so
as
you kept the lid on it a little bit because it sounded like for us to begin with that the only people you hadn't told was us. I mean, I had to do it when I was booked to do Strictly, and again, it was a late booking. Like, you know, the show starts, what, September, October or whatever like that, when you start hoofing around for the group number rehearsals and stuff like that. And it was August when I was booked.
Wow.
Yeah, I was August.
How
I
think, did you feel about that, darling?
Well, I knew it was the year after Russell Grant and they were looking for someone like my good self who would bring the comedy.
of a slightly different calibre, aged calibre.
Yeah, they're looking for an agent. Book that, whoopsie, it'll be great. So I did sit on that. I did tell my other half.
And that was it? You didn't tell anyone else?
But I didn't tell anyone else.
Really? Did anyone try and talk you out of it, either of you? Like, did you, when you told people, did they go, what are you
doing? Yeah, that's
doing?
A good point.
Oh my God, so many people. I mean, like, especially with Celebrity Big Brother, I think you think about it in when it was on Channel 5, Channel 4, like, and you just think of people screaming in each other's face.
Yeah.
So I had a lot. I think everyone who was in there got told at least 10 times not to do it. Like, we were having these conversations and it was like, are you sure you want to do
that?
Did that not freak you out, though?
Like, did you not go, what am I doing?
Yeah, question yourself, yeah.
A little bit. The only one I did think when my dad was like, are you sure? And then, like, my mum was like, yeah, go for it. Then my dad went, are you sure? And I was like, oh, okay, right. Am I sure about this, actually?
Yeah.
And then I think, like, some things you just got to go, you know what, what's the worst that can happen?
I thought you came across so well, though. You were brilliant and very genuine. You came across as such a nice guy.
Authentic.
Yeah, very authentic.
Slagging you off behind the scenes.
I haven't watched any Late in Lives or anything like that. So,
yeah, don't listen to any previous editions of the Sidebar because we threw you all under the bus. No,
we're very kind. Shame
well,
here.
No, the thing that the point that Anna made last week was because we were talking about Ekin-Su and how people were saying she perhaps wasn't her authentic self. It didn't feel like it was the right time for her to be doing this show. That seems to be the general feeling since she left the house.
I think we said the car crash that kept crashing
specifically.
That's
exactly what you said. And so with someone like Ekin-Su, did you feel like you were seeing the real Ekin-Su? Because everyone else seemed to be very sort of authentic. And of course, that's not to say that Ekin-Su wasn't authentic, but it must be so... If you're feeling vulnerable, you're going to put on a face, aren't you? You're going to protect yourself. Yeah. And I think that there was very definitely an element of that with Ekin-Su because she'd gone in at a time in her life where, you know, she's feeling quite raw, clearly. Did you feel that?
I think with Ekin-Su, I feel like I thought she was a lovely person. Like, she's really kind, always was up for a conversation. But for me personally, I just didn't have that, like, with the connection I have with Coulson, Nikita, David, I didn't have that with her, and that's absolutely normal. It's
well, there's a lot of you in there.
Yeah, it's like, it's natural for you not to be as close with other people, but I thought she was so lovely, so kind, and I obviously don't know what it's been portrayed on there, but I don't understand this fakeness as such
with
her, because that's good I thought she was...
Well, she said it was about the edit, and I think this is the big point we've been talking about, and maybe why you haven't watched it back yet, you know, because you do feel like you go on those things and you want the 360 degrees of Bradley, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that, right?
No, you know,
which is probably why you're not watching it. And I think that was Ekin-Su, quite rightly, and we really defended her in this, you know, there was an element of, but she was edited to a certain degree. Mm. Did you have fears of that?
No, I trust myself a lot. I don't think I would ever. And if people were saying I was fake or stuff like that, I would know in myself that I was definitely not fake.
How old are you? Because I need
22.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Like,
the thing is,
I need this self-reflection.
I think with the whole edit thing, from I've worked on TV shows as a researcher, so I've done the behind the camera thing, and I think that you can only edit someone to be like that if those parts of them come out. And I think I've always had these conversations with my other half when he says to me, would you ever go on reality TV?
Yeah, go on.
And I was like, do you know what? I would do some shows I would definitely do. But he was like, aren't you worried that they would edit you to be like the baddie? But I was like, they can't edit you to be a baddie if you're not a baddie.
If you haven't displayed those,
if those bits don't come across
or whatever. Yeah.
And I think with Ekin-Su, yeah, I think I was just going to say with Ekin-Su, I love her. And I think when she first came on to Celebrity Big Brother, she had this real vulnerability and she had this moment with Fern where she was saying, I feel like I can't trust people. And she came across as really sweet. But then there was one moment where Colson said to her, what does this compare to Love Island? And she snapped and was like, "This is, you can't even compare. It's totally." And I was a bit like, wow, where did that come from? Yeah. So there's obviously something there, that vulnerability, like you say, that maybe she wasn't ready to go into the Big Brother house.
You built up a great relationship with David.
Yes.
I mean, I met the man himself this morning. As I say, he's all pipes and pins. He said to me, do you know what he said? He said, I said, have you got Louis's number yet? And he said, well, and he said, no, he said, because he'd be hounding me.
I love David. If David gets a restraining order against Louis, yeah. that would be the ultimate.
I chatted to Colson as well this morning and he hasn't watched any of it back. I think the only bits he has watched back is when we did, like we did for you when you came in kindly to Good Morning Britain, Bradley, when we, like the compile we put together of your best bits and your journey. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
The
That's
montage.
All he saw, and he saw that live just before we interviewed him on the cobbles. I don't think there was a bad egg in there, really.
No. I didn't know who David was.
Oh, really?
No.
David was one of them that I did know.
Bradley,
so this is a great point, because this is what I really want to know, because obviously with the jungle and stuff like that, I'm a Celebrity, there's always loads of speculation, and there's lots of names in the papers before the actual contestants who have signed on the dotted line go down under.
Yeah.
But did you have any inkling about who was going to be in the house? Because I'd be terrified.
Good
Imagine
question.
If you're going in there as a showbiz journalist and someone walks through the door and you think,
I don't know who they are.
Unless I've got a brief, I couldn't pick them out of a lineup. I mean, it would be a nightmare. And I think I would have been like that with many, because I just don't watch those shows.
Yeah. When I think I got leaked on like the Tuesday. So we went into lockdown before, obviously, on the Saturday. But I think on the Tuesday that I got leaked that I was going in, I was a bit like, oh God, because I was looking at all these leaks, like they'll never find me, they'll never suspect me.
Yeah.
And then when I came out, I was like, okay, now I got to, if I look at these leaks, I've got to start believing some of them, because it's like, if they know me, then there's obviously been something that's been going on. And then when the Sun did like their exclusive first look of the thing.
Yeah, which wasn't official.
It wasn't official, but then everyone was phoning me going, congratulations. I was like, it's all speculation, it's not real. But when I looked at that list, I was like, I'm going to take this for what it is. And if obviously there's more people and there are less people.
Was there anyone you were a bit disappointed that was being, that was leaked and you were like, oh God, I really don't want to be trapped with that person?
Not really, no. I feel like everyone was there for a reason, I think.
Oh, he's playing
but
it safe.
But that moment when you said you saw the turn of the heel and you realised that your mother wouldn't be wearing those heels and it was definitely AJ. But, of course, that episode was recorded and aired the next day, but your identity was kept a secret. So you were actually in the dark for longer than any other housemate coming out, right?
Yes, because I got evicted. So it was actually in the day after Marisha and Zizi. So Marisha and Zizi got live evicted on Tuesday. I then had all day Wednesday. Then Wednesday evening, about 10 p.m., that's when I went into the rendezvous. And then that's when I got evicted. And then I had to go back, not backstage, but like behind the scenes. And then they like make sure that I was all okay. Then I went into hiding for 24 hours in a random apartment in Chelsea with my chaperone.
Lovely.
I wasn't allowed to leave though, with my chaperone. And then I just had an iPad with Netflix on it and I just had to watch that. And then we ate so much food because I was like, I need
Nando's. Can I ask you a quick question? So you said they checked if you were okay.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like? Like when you come off, like how do they go, are you okay, mate?
So you have a one-to-one meeting. So you first come off. Mine was obviously a bit different to everyone else's because everyone else would only have like 1 minute between their late and live interview. Whereas me, I could sit down for about maybe 20 minutes and speak through how I was feeling. But I went through the fire exit door to leave. I was like, iconic. And then I was like, I did what Gemma Collins always wanted to do.
That's it.
And then I walked out and then obviously there was the creative director there just saying, how are you feeling? I was like, I feel fine. Like, I feel I knew what I was getting myself into as a game.
It felt quite nasty, though. It did feel pretty nasty.
But that's part
of Big
Brother.
I think you handled it really, really well. Yeah. But I did think there's just something a little bit like there's TV in these moments, but it was a bit too much for me.
It was a bit brutal, wasn't it?
You handled it brilliantly. But what were you really feeling that moment where AJ, you knew it had turned?
Because she's very maternal, Anna. She probably knows.
They don't want to hug you.
Savage TV is good TV to watch, though. And that's part of Big Brother, right? Right?
Yeah. Did it feel in that moment like savage?
I don't know if this got shown, but basically that morning, Wednesday morning, me and David were in the garden and I was like, there's not going to be six of us on Friday, I'll tell you that, they're voting right now. And then he was like, oh yeah, there's never six. Well, sometimes there is, but it's a reboot, we don't actually know. But I was like, I don't think there's going to be six of us here this Friday. Ooh. And then David was like, do you think someone's going to get evicted tonight? I was like, it's the last chance someone can get evicted tonight because then it goes up tomorrow and then it's a live final. And then I was like, someone's getting evicted tonight. And then when this game was happening at like 9 p.m. and then I was the last one up, I went to David before I went in. I went, I'll either see my boyfriend or my sister or my mum or dad or my dog, or I'll be evicted. And he went, ha, ha, ha. Then I went in and then I got evicted.
And they got evicted. Let's listen to that shock eviction.
Hello.
Hello, Bradley.
No.
Wow. Surprised to see me?
Yes.
As you can see, no. Neither a friend or family member is here for you.
No.
That is because the public have been voting.
No.
I can now reveal that the seventh housemate to be evicted from the Celebrity Big Brother house is you.
Oh my God! Oh my God, no!
I've had so much fun.
How are you feeling?
I feel fine. I've had so much fun.
When I saw AJ, my second thought was like, oh, is AJ my friend? Like, hello, nice to see her. I met her a couple of times before I was on the show, so I was like, oh, is she my friend that's coming in?
Yeah, because your face, you didn't really, you were smiling, but you were a bit like, I don't really know what's going on.
Well,
yeah,
Anna
you
described
handled it well.
It as a wobbly lower. You know, we thought you were going to cry.
I was nervous and upset. And okay. The thing that when the lights went red, I was then a bit like, oh, and then she was like saying like, none of your family or friends are here. I was like, oh, that's nice of them.
But my sister was there.
Okay.
And then she was like, none of your family or friends are here. And then in my head, the only thing I could think about, I was like, oh, I'm going home, absolutely fine. But in my head, I was like, what about she then says, come with me, and then I can't say bye to any of my friends. And that was the one thing I was nervous about. So when she said, go and say bye, I literally sprinted out that door and was like,
do you know what's testament to you is watching all of the housemates watching that happen. That's what made me cry. It was actually watching the way they were all so shocked. Like, Bradley, it was like proper love.
You've had a chance, I'm sure, to catch up with some of them. I mean, there's got to be a Big Brother rap party, right?
Yeah, we did it. We had one.
Go on. Talk us through it.
So we had the rap party was just down the road. It was literally next to the studio, which was a bit random, but we had so much fun. We met, and it was nice to see meet everyone's family because I don't know how much they show about like people talking about their families and their partners, but we all like, especially me, Koss and Nikita, we always talk about our partners. And then little did we know, they all had a group chat together.
Oh, did they?
From the third day, they all made a group chat together. And then we met all of them. And it was just really nice, really good fun.
Who got the most drunk? The most important question about the rap party.
I don't think anyone got that drunk because it was only like an hour. Like the time we got off set, like after the final, we were like the cast were only there for like an hour. Maybe
I think when you can't answer, it was probably you.
Yeah, that's it.
I think when you're a little hazy about who was most drunk at a rap party. AJ, she choreographed a dance, didn't she, at the rap party? Yeah, how was that?
Well, I think I was the only cast member left at that point because that was when they were doing the speeches and they were like, and where's the cast members? Da, 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 da. And I was waving. It felt like I was the only one there. And then like, Marisha was sat down taking her heel off and I was like, Marisha's here too. But then they did a dance, but it was all a bit like, because everyone was obviously with their families and everyone was like, speaking in different things. Like we saw a little bit of the cast, but not, we weren't all together the whole night, which we'll probably have another meet up very soon.
Do you reckon you'll keep in touch with them?
Oh my God, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Couple of things we've got to mention because you're out on the outside world now. You were your authentic self. I said this to you on Good Morning Britain. Love you to bits, mate. Let's Talk Babies musical.
Yes.
Treading the boards in the West End.
Woo! I know. First time in forever. No, that's not the thing. Just first time.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited. It was announced, I think I signed I signed it on the Saturday before I went in, and I was like, maybe it's been announced now, maybe not, da da da. But it got announced the day of the final, which is really cool. But I'm very excited.
How does it feel when you get that call?
It was the worst audition I've ever done in my life.
Oh, so really?
I was very, very
Talk
shocked.
Us through worst.
Like bad.
Why? Like a yak singing.
Like awful. So I had to do a self-tape for it. Oh. So I filmed my self-tape, and I don't really like self-tapes that much, but I prefer to do a self-tape because I was embarrassed of what I was about to sing. And I was going for... So I got the part of Toby, but I was actually going for Jacob, the character of Jacob, who was this like straight sporty guy.
Bang on brand,
like,
baby.
I know, yeah. And I was a bit like...
Bang on brand.
You know what? Might as well try and, you know, not play myself all the time. But I did it, and then the song, it was horrific. Like, I did it in the self-tape, and I was just singing, and I was just like, it wasn't sitting well in my voice. And then they went, oh, we would love to recall him there tomorrow. And I was like, really?
Wow.
And I felt like it was a joke, and I was like, to mention, I don't know if I can go, I'm so embarrassed. And then I went, and I sang the song, and then they were like, oh, could you try this song? And it was for the other character, and the other song just felt so much better.
Right.
But it was one of those things where I was cringing at myself about how awkward and how bad
how
I was
nice
doing.
How nice that you're like, your non-A game got you a part. Like, like none of the other of us in this group, if we put our low-level game in, we would not
we
be getting
get anywhere.
A part, mate.
Yeah. Because what's it about, Bradley?
So it's about a group of year 11s, and they're basically... I think they got their inspiration because it's a comedy. It's like lighthearted. It's fun. They got their inspiration from Love Island. You know the baby simulators.
Oh yes.
So basically, it's a group of year 11s doing like an assignment, and they will have to look after like a baby simulator. And then people are paired together, and everyone's got their own struggles. Obviously, being like a teenager, and then my character gets paired with a boy, and then they start falling in love slowly with each other. And then they realize that they're actually more than friends, and it's like. And they have this baby
it sounds
together.
Really good.
It sounds fascinating.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
In between that, you've got to stretch your legs, mate, because you're running a marathon, and that's for the National Autistic Society. Yes. So fantastic calls. How's the training going?
It was going really well until I was locked away for 3 weeks.
Oh, God. Are you good at running in general? Are you a runner?
I'm not the best runner, but I can run, I guess. But before I was doing like, you know, training, getting myself going, and then... I got locked away for 3 weeks, and then I tried to do a bit of workouts here and there, but you can't run. So it's like working, doing cardio in Mauritius is completely different to running.
Running around the Big Brother house.
Yeah,
just doing laps.
I did keep running. I did keep running. Around Louis. And he's like, sit down.
That's great. And also, this warmed my cockles because it's a campaign that we championed on Good Morning Britain. You're one of the faces backing the government's Better Health, Every Mind Matters, Loneliness campaign. Did that chime with you immediately?
Yeah, when I got asked to be a part of the campaign, there are all these cool names as well who have their own experiences within being lonely, especially in our age group.
Who else?
There was Tasha, Bobby, Bronte, and Anastasia. So they're all like different. We all have different jobs as well, which is cool. But yeah, everyone just has their own story. And it was so cool to hear everyone, how they felt lonely and normalising being lonely, because it is a normal thing to go through. And the more we normalise it, the more less people
feel
afraid.
What was the moment
where
you felt probably the most lonely?
Probably when I was like around 16, 17. I think because I was working out my sexuality and didn't know who I was. And then I feel like a lot of the time when around that age, people put labels on you when before you know them. Mm. So a lot of people were saying, you're gay. And I always thought that was a negative, but it's not a negative. But people were like labeling me before I knew who I was. So then it was like internalized homophobia, like not understand myself, hurting myself because I didn't want to be my true authentic self, basically.
Yeah.
So that was really lonely. Because then every time I was growing up, especially understanding myself, I'd always go speak to my parents. But with this one thing, it's like I didn't want to speak to them about it because it was like, would they accept me? Would they not like me?
Oh, it's terrifying because you feel like, and I'm sure it's many people listening can relate to it too, is you feel like the people that you love most in the world, they're suddenly going to appear bigoted or, you know, you're terrified of what that response will be. Absolutely terrified. And all that, you know, the rejection, of course.
Definitely.
My sister came out at 29 and it was exactly the same. She was like, she said, I hate that it's even referred to as coming out. Like, there's this big moment of the wardrobe opening. And she's like, I've just fallen in love with a woman. And that's
okay,
and I was with a man before. But this feels like this big sort of Narnia moment, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it kind of, you go through the fur coats and suddenly you're out the other side.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that, should it?
No. Mm. I love you for that, though. Oh. Because I think, that loneliness doesn't get weirdly airtime, you know?
No,
and it takes a lot to stand behind something that people would look at and go, well, you know, no one wants to feel that.
Yeah,
well,
but I think it's really important that we're talking about it. And I feel like we're at a time now where people are being more open and honest about these things. And I think the more we talk about it, the more awareness it generates.
Well, you're a brilliant ambassador for it, Bradley. Oh,
thank you.
Brilliant. Hasn't he grown, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh,
hasn't
he grown? Has.
Let's hear it for our first ever guest on the sidebar, Bradley you. Riches. You're thank on the road to riches, I would say, Bradley, if you'll excuse the pun. We wish you all the best of luck with your marathon and, of course, your musical babies.
I just want to give him a buzz of me hug because I love you so much. I just think AJ was mean.
Well, whilst Anna gives you a bosom here, thank you, Anna, on that bombshell. Rezzy, it's always a joy, and my love, Bradley, goes without saying, thank you so much for being our very first guest on The Sidebar. And thank you, the listener, for joining us on The Sidebar today. Don't forget, you can email us at thesidebar@mailonline.co.uk. Comment on Spotify, send us a cheeky WhatsApp or a voice note on 07796 657 512. 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word Sidebar, please. Give us a follow and a 5-star review. It makes the world of difference. And don't forget, Sidebar, or it didn't happen.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, more parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Our hit series, Everything I Know About Me, is back for a brand new season. And this time, our guest needs no introduction.
Of course you find me, Darren!
But here's one anyway.
Hi, I'm Gemma Collins, and this is Everything I Know About Me.
If you think you know all about Gemma Collins, think again, because this is the GC as you've never heard her before.
It's been exhausting.
Unashamed.
And I was really heartbroken because I was pregnant and he was having an affair.
Unfiltered.
I have had an operation as well years ago. I have a designer vagina. Yeah, baby. I don't have camel toe.
Unbelievable.
And then they advised me, you need to have a termination. And, yeah, I remember that being really stressful.
Everything I Know About Me with Gemma Collins is out this Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.